Lord, as we study this passage together, may we learn more of who you are and who we are in Christ. Amen. The book of Ruth, from which our passage comes, is set during the period of the Judges, a time when many had turned their backs on God's law and did as they pleased. These were dark days for the children of Israel. I love the way that this story gives a very personal account of one family through which God's light could shine during all of that. But before looking at our passage, first a little bit of background. There had years beforehand been famine in the Promised Land. So Naomi, her husband Elimelech, and their two sons left Bethlehem, their hometown, for the greener pastures of Moab, a pagan foreign land. In that place, Naomi suffered loss. First her husband, followed by her sons. Upon hearing the famine back home in Bethlehem had lifted, she returns, accompanied by Ruth, her daughter-in-law, and they arrive just as the barley harvest was beginning. Now, Naomi knew God's sovereign rule, knew his law from Mount Sinai, his judgments. She says in chapter 1 towards the end, "The Lord Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full," meaning with her husband and sons, "but the Lord has brought me back empty," speaking of her loss. Naomi also knew of the Lord's blessings, like this part of the law addressed to landowners, which reads, "When you're harvesting your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back and get it. Leave it for the alien," that's a foreigner, "the fatherless and the widow." Deuteronomy 24. This message is repeated twice in Leviticus 23. Naomi would have known this. So with the barley ripe for picking, off Ruth goes, hoping to find a field in which she can glean so the two women can have something to eat. But remember, this was the time of the judges. The fields were a risky place to be. But this morning, I'd like our focus to be on Naomi. With Ruth gone, Naomi was left alone, probably for the first time in ages, alone with her thoughts, the family she'd lost, no grandchildren to bring some comfort, uncertainty about how she and Ruth would cope that day, yet alone thinking about tomorrow. When challenges arise, we can either sense God with us, walking with us through it, and that's great. Or we could feel alone in it and wonder where God is. Maybe even struggle to pray. To be fair, most of us probably fluctuate between the two. But pray we must, because nothing happens without it. If prayer's difficult, there's no need for elaborate words. By just saying, "Where are you, Lord?" or asking someone else for prayer support lifts that thing into God's domain, under his wing, his protection, his care. After every Sunday, we have prayer support in the side chapel. And also, join a home group. You will meet with about half a dozen people, and that's a brilliant place for prayer support. But this morning, we're going to see how Naomi's faith, her belief in the covenant God of Israel, enables her to not only see his judgments, but see the things that we see as him being silent, but also to recognise signs of his grace. And then see what we can take away from that. So that's the plan. Let us now turn to today's passage. Ruth returns home after gleaning in the field. Verse 17, towards the end, tells us she brought back an apoth of barley. That's a vessel big enough to hold a fully grown man, and it was filled to the brim. To be a fly on the wall when Naomi opened the door and saw that sight. And Ruth would have handed her a packed lunch of roasted grain. Reading that, I could just imagine Naomi munching away on it as she listens to Ruth's account of her day. Of the landowner who not only allowed her to glean in his field, but see verse 14 with me. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he handed her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted, and it says she even had some left over. Boaz here provided these women with far more than they required. Such generosity brings to mind the basket full of bread left over when Jesus had fed the 5,000. Then Boaz, the wealthy landowner, invites this poor foreign widow to sit at his table. I love that picture of loving acceptance. After lunch, when Ruth heads back to the field, Boaz tells his men not to embarrass her. See verse 16, pull out some stalks for her from your bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and do not rebuke her. And he tells Ruth in verse 21, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. That would have included the wheat harvest too, about 6 weeks in total. Now, Naomi didn't know the landowner's name yet. But from hearing all of that, she knew he feared the Lord. And through this landowner, she had truly been blessed. To say this turned out to be a good day for these two women would be an understatement. But as the saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet. So without delay, let's see what happens next. Naomi was a widow. There was no heir to carry on the family line. This was a big deal in ancient Israel. This, more than anything else, would have caused her the deepest pain. The turning point for Naomi, from sadness to joy, from lostness to a place of renewed hope, happens the moment she realizes the landowner Ruth's talking about is Boaz, a relative of hers. Look with me at verse 20. This is the most important verse in this passage. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. Under covenant law, a kinsman was responsible for protecting those in need from within his family group. This included redeeming any relative sold into slavery by paying the price to set them free, Leviticus 25. Buying back a poor relative's land for them, also Leviticus 25. And providing an heir for a male relative who has died to keep his name alive, Deuteronomy 25. Naomi would have known this. The kindness Naomi speaks of in verse 20 is God's kindness to the living, herself and Ruth, and the dead, her husband and sons. Boaz, if he chooses, could marry Ruth and provide Naomi with a grandson. He could be her kinsman redeemer. All of this would have been going around and around Naomi's mind. Not sure if she shared that with Ruth yet. But here, Naomi understands. Her understanding of events is crystal clear. It was God who led Ruth to Boaz's field. It had nothing to do with luck. Can we, at times, miss those nuggets, some of those golden opportunities when God has intervened in our lives? The kind of stuff that we may put down to coincidence or just luck. I mean, I know that it's by no accident that me, a North London girl born and bred, ended up getting married in this church, because it's here the Lord brought me to faith. And I also know that he put into my life a friend whose journey, the highs and also the more testing times, have run almost parallel with mine. It's been quite uncanny. By walking with each other over the years through that, the Lord has enriched both our lives. If I were to pass this mic around, I know that here we would hear so many testimonies of people who know that God has done something at some point in their lives. Back to our passage. God revealed his character to the children of Israel through stories of their history. God, the mighty Redeemer, who rescued the children of Israel, rescued them from Egypt, watched over them through the wilderness years, gave them the law, forgave their sins through animal sacrifice, led them to the promised land, did for them as a people what they could not do for themselves. Naomi knew her history. She knew this. I just want to say something very briefly about the covenant law. When we think of the law, the Pharisees during Jesus' time can come to mind, but those legalistic men, they twisted it, they distorted it to serve themselves. But as we're reminded this morning, the law was God's gift to Israel, setting them apart, guiding them on how they should live in relationship with him and with one another in love. Like that instruction to the landowners we looked at earlier, which encourages care for the foreigner, the poor, and the widow. It should be renamed the Covenant Law of Love. Naomi believed in God, Add to this her experience of his grace through Boaz, and as a result, we can see she had a spring in her step, a renewed joy, hope. We do not live under the covenant law, but Christ who came to fulfill it. On the cross, he poured himself out. There he took our sin upon himself, paid the price so that you and I may have life. Communion is a time to remember that Christ, our Redeemer, Christ is our Redeemer by choice through grace. We're coming to an end now, so just a very quick recap. First, we looked at Naomi during her time of suffering and how we too can bring our situations to the Lord in prayer. We saw Boaz, how his generosity towards Ruth was Christ-like. Then that dramatic turn of events in verse 20, when Naomi realizes Boaz coming into her life through Ruth was no coincidence, but God's intervention in her life, in which Boaz could be her kinsman redeemer and provide her with that grandson. We'll hear more about it next week. Last but certainly not least, we saw that Christ, through the cross, redeems all who profess Christ is Lord in love and power. Naomi believed in God, his sovereignty. But at times, she would have hung on to her faith by the tips of her fingers. Yet all the while, the unseen hand of God was working out his purposes for her life. The Spirit of God is with us, amongst us, during the best and the worst of times. His unseen hand is big enough, wide enough, and deep enough to plot for your glory and mine. In the book of Jeremiah, God's words to his people who were struggling under the pressure of exile in Babylon, those very words, he speaks afresh to this generation, to you and to me today. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29. Meditate on Scripture, his life-giving word. Worship, pray, that our spiritual eyes may be opened wide as God continues to work out his purposes until that glorious day of Christ's return. What a Saviour. This is the Christian hope. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your life-giving word. By your Spirit, may we grow closer to your truths each and every day. Amen.